Let's turn now to a company that's trying to push those numbers down out in that real world. Here's The World's Jason Margolis.
It's not every day you hear business leaders talk like this.
We are worried about climate change and the ability of the world to move fast enough.
Barry Parkin works with Mars. You know the name. They're the world's largest candy maker. They make Snickers, Skittles, and M&Ms. More and more companies are talking about climate change. But Mars is putting a big pile of money behind that talk with a $1 billion investment to cut its greenhouse gas pollution by two-thirds by the year 2050. Parkin, who is Mars's chief sustainability officer, says the move is definitely about investing in a healthier planet, but it's also about investing in the company itself.
Using less energy in your factories just saves you money. You know, the world has reached a tipping point on renewable energy where it's actually cheaper now in many countries than fossil fuel energy. So it's just good business, some of this.
Things like investing in a Texas wind farm the size of Paris. Mars is already using enough renewable electricity to run all of its factories in the U.S., the U.K., Brazil, Belgium, and Lithuania. It wants its roughly 150 factories worldwide to be carbon neutral by the year 2040.
So we're sort of marching around the world, making our plants more efficient.
The march is now reaching Ontario, Canada.
This is our newest facility, so...
Dave Dusseng is the general manager for Mars Food Canada. Mars doesn't just produce candy. The newly expanded plant in the township of Bolton, just north of Toronto, churns out Uncle Ben's instant rice.
This facility can produce 140 tons a day, which is equivalent of 600,000 pouches.
That's a lot of rice and a lot of energy spent to process and package it. When Mars expanded this factory, energy cost savings were top of mind. The building has energy-efficient lighting, more efficient cooling, and plenty of natural light.
Toronto is cold. However, having the windows actually creates natural heating for the building and is helping us as part of our energy efficiency.
But the big energy cost here comes from cooking. To give us rice that we can pop in a microwave, they need to cook it here first. That means boiling lots and lots of water.
We've installed and put in a number of systems to be able to recirculate that water and recapture it.
That's Peter McDonald, the plant's operations manager. The cooking water used to be used once and then poured down the drain. No longer.
Back in about 2007, this factory was using roughly one-third of the water for the entire town. Once we went to recirculating, we actually had the city contact us saying, you know, what's going on?
Mars has lowered its water use here by 85%, and that means using a lot less energy as well. But sustainability chief Barry Parkin says changes like these in Ontario, that's just the start.
You know, I hope in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, we're not carving out what are we investing in sustainability, but it's just part of the way we do business.
Still, Mars has its critics.
We have to shift the focus from reducing unsustainability, doing less bad stuff, to doing more good stuff. That requires a fundamentally different approach.
Andrew Hoffman teaches sustainable business practices at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. He likes that Mars is taking a public stance on climate change, but says their efforts aren't enough, considering the urgency of the issue.
You know, scientists are expecting that 90% of the world's coral reefs will be gone by 2050. There's expectations that by 2100, as much as half of all present species could be extinct. There needs to be some really bold thinking, and I do look to the corporate sector to do it, and a reduction of 67% greenhouse gas emissions. I'd like to see them go carbon neutral.
Let me talk about Mars' billion-dollar commitment, because I do think it is a wildly impressive commitment.
Mindy Luber is the CEO of Ceres, a Boston-based organization that helps companies integrate sustainability practices into their work. She agrees that the private sector must do more, but is encouraged by the growing number of companies taking climate change seriously, like Mars.
Mars has stood up before it was popular to say acting on climate change is not only an important imperative for our kids' future, but it's a business imperative. They set goals and they work to meet them.
But cleaning up Mars's factories, that's the easy part. Factories produce just 10% of the company's greenhouse gas emissions. The bigger challenge will be tackling the company's agricultural supply chain, dramatically improving how all that cocoa and sugar and rice is grown. Mars says it's committed to freezing the company's land footprint and stopping deforestation, but the company came under fire just last month for buying palm oil from Indonesian land that used to be habitat for orangutans, rhinos, and leopards. Mars says it expects its suppliers to comply with environmental standards, but acknowledges the challenges. Back in Ontario, I asked Dave Dusang about the supply chain for rice. He says they've started a pilot program with farmers in Pakistan and India.
What we've been able to see is through improved farming practices, the production of rice has resulted in a third less use of water. And importantly for the farmers and their economic well-being, we've seen a 30% increase in the income that they're able to generate.
Meeting its environmental goals and appeasing the critics is going to be a big challenge for Mars. But the bigger challenge for the Earth maybe how to get more companies to at least start trying. For The World, Jason Margolis, Bolton, Ontario.